The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
The way we pay for things has fundamentally changed, from owning products outright to renting access, often indefinitely. Our daily lives now come with a monthly fee attached. The so-called subscription economy has become hugely attractive to investors, but turned what used to be occasional spending into fixed, ongoing costs. Joining me now to talk about all of this and how the financial system is nudging businesses towards the subscription model and whether consumers are ultimately paying the price for that is Emma Howard, economics lecturer from TUD. Emma, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, they call this in business the recurring revenue model. For the rest of us, though, it's a big bill every month.
It is, yes. It depends on your perspective. It's a recurring payments model for us. But for businesses, this kind of model is good in a number of ways. And one is that, as you say, it's a continuous stream of revenue. But the second is that it's actually a much more predictable stream of revenue than other business models, because it's much easier to predict how many of your subscribers are going to stay subscribed than it is to predict what new customers are going to come and buy your product. So if you look at some of the guys who are really good at this, so some of those subscribers that you and I might have, Pat, such as Spotify Premium, they have an 84% retention rate of subscribers. And Netflix is pretty similar. Netflix have a 75% retention of subscribers. And that's despite the fact, of course, particularly for Netflix, there are an increasing number of competitors. But we do have this very high retention rate where people are sticking with them, even though there are lots of alternatives coming on the market.
Now, the question, Em, is whether they do it willingly or unwittingly. This business of set and forget is what they call it, where you enroll yourself and then you don't bother reviewing it at all.
Exactly. And this is, you know, we do have a lot of behavioral biases that mean we don't always make rational decisions. And one of them is quite common is what we call the status quo bias. And what it means is that people more often than not stick with defaults, even if those defaults aren't exactly what they require anymore. So this is what happens when we subscribe to something where it is automatically renewed month on month. And often we're lured in with things like maybe a month free or a low initial offer. And we sign up thinking, well, you know, we'll give it a try. And if we don't like it, we'll cancel it. But people very often just forget about that. So once you've subscribed, it comes out of your account. And each individual subscription sometimes can be quite low. So I had a look, actually, HBO Max, the newest subscription service, are offering you €7 is the initial startup subscription cost. So, you know, you think €7, I'm not going to miss that. You sign up, you might watch a couple of things, and then you forget about it. And that €7 goes out of your account each month. And that on its own isn't much. But of course, if you have multiple subscriptions, that can add up to quite a big sum.
Now, what are what they call subscription traps? Are those traps whereby you do want something for a while and then you don't want it anymore, but you find it difficult or almost impossible to unsubscribe?
Yeah, and now we do have some good consumer protection regulation that has really reduced the number of subscription traps. So companies do have to make it easy for you to unsubscribe, and they can't lock you into these continuous contracts. But really, the trap, I suppose, is more in terms of our own bias and the fact that we do tend to forget about it. And sometimes it can be a little bit tricky in that, you know, it might be kind of there's several steps on your app that you need to go through, and it's not immediately obvious. So there may still, in some cases, be enough barriers that people give up and they don't have the time and they stick with it. But there is a lot of protection now to make it at least not too difficult for you to unsubscribe.
Now, we're all familiar with the streamers as typical ongoing subscriptions that we tend to be locked into. And as you say, the churn is very low in those sectors. But what other sectors have come on stream? I mean, I'm thinking when the late Ben Dunn started his fitness gyms, he allowed people to pay by the month, I think it was, whereas most gyms were saying, you've got to pay us a big annual sub in January. And then, of course, people stop using the gym, but the sub has been paid. And Ben changed it to a monthly, which seemed to be much more flexible. But what other sectors besides those kind of things have now been embraced in this subscription model?
Well, there's lots of others. So software subscription services is a big one, particularly for businesses. And of course, like things like software services, but also increasingly perhaps fleets of vans or trucks that a business might need. Those can increasingly be rented or subscribed to rather than you making a big investment up front. And that can have positives for businesses because you don't need such an amount of additional startup capital. And it can also be really good for the companies themselves. So software subscription services, they actually have 120% revenue retention rate annually, the best in business. And that's because what they tend to be able to do is keep their businesses, keep those people subscribed across the year, but also actually grow the revenue within those subscribers as well, because they often have add-ons or, you know, additional purchases that they can sell you. So it gives them a touch point for customers rather than you going in once and buying a software package for them and then that's the end of the relationship. Because you're paying every month and you might have some maintenance or consumer service parts added on to that, they are continually in contact with you and it gives you more of an incentive to stay in touch with them.
I suppose in the case of software, people are afraid if they don't have an ongoing subscription, they miss the update and they miss the virus protection and all of that sort of thing. But I came across something online last night where people were complaining in the United States about a company which makes printers, very well-known company, and they have an ink contract. And the people were saying, I still had loads of ink and that was enough for me. So I cancelled my contract and my printer wouldn't work. The supplier was able to tell the printer, don't print anything more for this woman. She hasn't resubscribed.
Yes, exactly. Yep, there are some of those as well. And that is, again, another way to ensure that even though that printer is one big one-off purchase, that you are then having to pay them even a small amount of money that continues their revenue stream beyond that initial service. But there's also other kind of subscriptions that we don't think about as subscriptions. So if you think about people who buy a new car, so some people will save up and buy a new car. Some people might get a car loan, but increasingly there's lots of people who buy a car on hire purchase. Mm-hmm. And those hire purchases, those contracts are actually ones where you're essentially renting the car. So the finance company owns your car until you pay that final payment. So really, you're never owning your car. You're renting it, and it allows people. What we often see is people. You know, you might see your neighbors are buying a new car every year or every couple of years, but in a lot of cases, they don't actually own that car. They're essentially renting it, and that kind of model is allowing this era of conspicuous consumption where, you know, people really don't want to wait or don't want to save for things anymore. They want that immediate gratification and they also want that kind of status quo or that wealth status of the new car in the driveway. And these kind of hire purchase orders allow them to do that.
Now, besides that instant gratification, is there anything else in it for the consumer? Any of these models good for the consumer rather than good for the company?
So they can be, and it depends, I guess, on the car point. You could think of something like the Go Car, which again has a subscription model now in Ireland, and that's this facility where you rent a car, but you can rent it at an hourly, you can rent it by the hour rather than necessarily, you know, for a week or so as you might on holiday. And they now have a subscription model where you pay a monthly fee, and that gives you a lower per hour rental cost for your Go Car. So it can facilitate people, you know, who maybe don't have to drive to work and, you know, only want a car occasionally, and not to have to pay that big upfront cost.
Sure. And then there's the case of people who have apartments and no parking space. More and more that is the case, such as our planning situation in Ireland. So you want to do a big grocery shop, you take a Go Car for an afternoon, do your shop, unload your shop and then abandon the car.
Exactly. Yeah. So if consumers use these products in a way that's tailored to them and where they are very consciously subscribing and unsubscribing, they can be really useful. So, you know, back to the streaming services, if you have paid subscriptions for four or five streaming services, that is probably far too much of a spend and you're probably not getting value for money unless you are sitting at home all day, every day watching television. But if you subscribe to a service and then unsubscribe when you finished watching something and subscribe again a few months later, it can actually work well and it can minimize those costs while giving you access to the service when you are actually going to need it.
Yeah, I remember when The Crown came out first, that's what people were doing. Everyone was talking about The Crown on Netflix. So people signed up, watched The Crown and then signed off.
Yes, exactly. A really good strategy.
Mm-hmm. Finally, I should ask you about the situation as people get older and they've accumulated all of these subscriptions and they may be renting an apartment, because more and more developers are going down this route as well, where they're not selling the apartments, they're renting them. And suddenly your income, because you're getting older and you're now retired, your income has decreased very significantly, but your subscriptions are inevitably only going one way and that's up. What then?
Well, that's one of the ways, you know, we have to really think about managing our money and about what subscriptions we need, but also about how we purchase things. So, you know, again, if somebody's renting, you know, that's a separate issue. And I guess that's a housing policy one in Ireland. But, you know, if you think about things like car purchases, you know, if you are coming close to retirement, buying a car on hire purchase that's going to commit you to high monthly repayments into retirement is not a good strategy. So it's about managing the money and where you can, if you can save to buy a big purchase like a car, that is a much cheaper way to do it than buying it on hire purchase or getting a car loan. And those subscriptions, you know, really auditing your account every month and looking at which ones are coming out, how much you're actually using those services and whether you can do without them and cancel them.
Emma Hard, economics lecturer from TUD. Thank you very much, Emma, for joining us.
Thank you, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.